Friends, when we read Bible, it is very interesting to see the story of the people of the Bible. I like the biblical characters. They are very genuine people, and also they are sometimes, you know, gives us a lot of lessons from their life. Many times we fail to understand the heart of the people, and sometimes the problem when we read the Bible, about some people, we think, you know, that person is so holy and I may not be able to become like him. I also had this problem when I was reading the story of Elijah. You know what happened when I was reading Elijah? The first thing that we are seeing in 1 Kings chapter 17, that the Elijah is coming into the court of Ahab, and you know, he was saying something against Ahab, and he was going back without any hut. So I was just wondering whether I would be able to do that if God asked me to do something like that, going to the president's palace and say something. Of course, you know, if God asked me to do that, I will do that. I need to do that, but still I will think twice. I will think twice. I'm so sorry. But I will do that. I hope I will do that. But I say something that when we think that we cannot become like the characters of the Bible, that we say that they are somebody big, like Elijah. When we see Elijah on the Mount Carmel praying, and the fire that was coming down, and about all the things that he was doing, and finally we see that, you know, he was taken by God in heavenly fire, chariots and myriads of, you know, it's something big. So then I say, who am I? I'm Saju. He's Elijah. I cannot become like him. But when I was reading about Elijah in the New Testament, we see that he was with the same nature with us. And that's what we see there. That means Elijah is not a special character. He was, of course, he was obedient to God. And if I'm obedient to God, then certainly God will use me like him also. See, I cannot just consider these people as legends. Legends are characters of the old scripts, like Ramayana or Greek epics and all. We know that those people it's made up stories. So we never think to become like that. We never say, I want to become like Apollo, or I know that, you know, it's only a character in the epic. But the biblical characters are true and genuine, and they lived in this world with the power of the Holy Spirit. They were doing all these things. And such a character is Enoch. And today I just want to say about Enoch. We see that Enoch walked with God. And when I was reading this Bible, you know, in Jude chapter 14, we see an adjective about Enoch. What was it? It says that Enoch, the seventh generation from Adam. I was just wondering why the Bible says like that. I knew only one Enoch. Then if there is only one person in history, then why should I give him an adjective? Then I was thinking there must be another Enoch. And when I was reading the Bible again and again, I found that there is another Enoch. It was in chapter 4 of Genesis, and he was third generation from Adam. And verse 17, it says, Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Enoch, and built a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. Third generation from Adam. But still I was not remembering him. Maybe I have read 100 times this passage, but you know, I overlooked it. But now I think it is a godly righteousness, because this Enoch, who was the son of Cain, when Cain wanted to make his name great so that all the generations will know his son, he built a city. Just to see that his name of his son shall be remembered for generations. And he named this city after his son's name, Enoch. But we do not know where is Enoch now. And we do not have any trace of even this city, Enoch. This is exactly what is happening. When we try to make a name for ourselves, we fail. And even the people of Babel, Shinar, in Genesis chapter 11, we see that they were making a tower so that they wanted to make a name for themselves. Let's make bricks, let's make a tower that reaches heaven, and let's make a name for ourselves. But what happened? God was intervening. Because God doesn't want man to make a name for himself. And in chapter 12, God is calling Abraham. And we see that Jesus, God is saying that I will make your name great. That's what is happening. And even the name of all the people of, almost all people, almost all people of the world, all religion, most of the religion, like the Jewish people, the Christian people, and Islamic people, they all are, competing to tell that we are children of Abraham. The name of Abraham is known. See, let God make a name for ourselves, not ourselves. And we see, our Enoch, maybe we have that kind of affection towards Enoch from seventh generation from Adam. And our Enoch, he was not making a name for himself. No. But still he is known. Why he is known? He is known not because he made a city. We do not know whether he made a home for himself. We know only one thing, that he was not dying, lying down on a bed in his home. He was taken by God. He was not known because he was living for a long time. Many times people pray for a long life. Why should we have a long life? The biblical understanding of long life is a life that is fruitful. It is not the years that makes you live long, but the donation that you have given to this world and your life. It's not the years. The span of your life. Of course, good. But your life should be it should not be just a long life, but it should be a full life. You know, Jim Elliot, he was a missionary to the Awka people, Waroni, and he was speared by the enemies of gospel at the age of 27. He lived in this world only for 27 years. But his name is known for most of the Christians in the mission fields. He's known. Why? Not even because he was living long years in the mission field. He couldn't even share gospel with the people of Waroni. They speared him even before he shared gospel with them. But in his diary, it was written, a prayer. Jim Elliot has written a prayer in his diary. What was it? Lord, I'm not asking you to give me a long life, but I ask you to give me a full life, like yours. It's not a long life, but a full life. There's a big difference between long life and full life. When you're accomplishing God's mission in your life, when I say mission, don't think that it is missionary work in Africa or Sri Lanka or Kashmir or India or... No. Of course, that is mission work. But God has given a mission for everybody, each one of you. All the people who hear my message, I tell you, God has given you a mission. That is the entrusted mission. God wants you to fulfill it, to complete. That's all. When you are able to fulfill the mission, entrusted mission, you're completing it. I tell you, my friends, of course, your life is a full life. Even the life of Jesus was not a long life. If you look at the cross, when he was dying, he was only 33 years. But you know what he said? It is finished. What's the meaning of it? All that the Father has entrusted upon him, his mission, he has finished. And that's a full life. My friends, that should be our prayer. We need to see that we are fulfilling. It's not just completing the course of our life. That's all. It's not how much we do, but what matters is we are fulfilling. We are completing the ministry, the mission that is entrusted upon us. So don't find greatness in things of this world. Some people find greatness in money. And that's the reason why they are always after money. Money, 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 money. I'm so sorry to say that even Christians and even preachers, they are after money. Many people do not believe that money is an unrighteous mammon. It's an unrighteous mammon. That's what the Bible says. Do not find greatness in money. Do not find greatness in fame. Do not find greatness in health. Health is needed, of course. It's all given by God. But if you try to find greatness in health, you will spend all your time in gymnasium. If you find greatness in money, you will do all the business that is possible in the world. And if you find greatness in beauty, then you will spend all your time in saloon. My friends, find greatness in walking with God. That's what Enoch did. He was walking with God. Maybe you'll say, as I said, you know, Enoch walked with God, but I'm not Enoch. I'm Saju. I'm not like Enoch. And say, those days were olden days, my brother. This is not the modern age. And some people say, how can I walk with God? I have a wife and have children. My friends, if Enoch can walk with God, you also can walk with God. Don't think that in modern age it is impossible to walk with God. Because the God is the same. God is the same. And don't say that if I have wife and children, I cannot walk with God. Even Enoch had wife and children. You understand, my friends? So, if Enoch walked with God, you also can walk with God. There are two people, specifically the Bible says they walked with God. One is Enoch and one is Noah. And both these people had wife and children. But they walked with God. We certainly can walk with God. How can we walk with God? It is possible, my friends. It is possible. Don't say that it is Elijah. It is Enoch. It is Paul. Sometimes we say, after all, that is Job. We are not Job. No. If you are truthful to God, you are like Job, you are like Paul, you are like Enoch, you are like Elijah. I'm not saying that you need to do all the things that Elijah did, but Elijah is not a special person. He was a person like me. That's what the Bible says. He's a man like man. The same. And he was not a strong. And he was not a strong person. No. He was a normal person, but his strength was the Spirit of the Lord. Likewise, we have the Holy Spirit. So, if God has entrusted a ministry upon you, God will help you. The Spirit of the Lord will help you to do that. You're able. Not with your power. Even Elijah or Elisha or Enoch or any people of the Bible, biblical, those things with the power, doing all those things with the power of themselves, but they were all doing it with the power of the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit is available for you and me. And certainly God wants you to do the ministry, the mission that God has entrusted upon you. And then certainly when we read about walking with God, it is especially in Amos, book of Amos, we see that in chapter 3, book of Amos, chapter 3, that there's a question, can two walk together unless they make an appointment? Verse 3, do two walk together unless they have made an appointment? What is the meaning of it? So, if you have an appointment, the appointment it says about the covenant. If you have made a covenant with God, if you are a covenant partner with God, then certainly you can walk with Him, no problem. But you need to keep that covenant. What is keeping a covenant? Because you have made a covenant with a holy God. A holy God. And if you are living in iniquity in your sins, then certainly you are breaking the covenant. Then it is difficult for God to walk with you because He is a holy God. God cannot walk in unholiness. Even when there was unholiness in the camp, you know what Moses was doing? Moses took a tent and he pitched it outside the camp, far from the camp, and named it the tent of meeting. And all those who are seeking God, they were not seeking God inside the camp because it is unholiness. And those who are seeking God, they were coming out. and came to the tent of meeting, and God was coming down from heaven, and he also was coming to the tent of meeting, and they were meeting each other, and that's why it is called tent of meeting. So I'm telling you, my friends, if you have made a covenant with God, never give yourself for unholiness. When Israel was making or, you know, committing all kind of sins, you know what God said, verse 2 of Amos chapter 3, "You only have I known of all the families of the earth, therefore I will punish you for all your iniquities." God made a covenant with Israel, but Israel was not keeping the covenant. You know what God was saying? I'm going to punish all your iniquities, all your sins. Why? Why? Because God says, only then I can walk with you. I want to see that you are becoming holy. When other people were making breaking, there's no covenant between them and God. When they are doing a sin or committing a sin, maybe God will not overlook any sins, but, you know, will slow to punish. But when we make a mistake, God is very harsh and he is very fast in punishing us. You know why? It's not because we are not dear to him. It's because he is dear to us. Because it's the same. If somebody outside, suppose my neighbor's child is making a mistake or playing cards or drinking outside, when I see that, I will say, what kind of generation is this? You know, I'm so sad, but I'm not going to spank them. Maybe I'll tell it to the father and things like that. But, you know, I'm not very fast in acting. But if I see my own child in place of the neighbor's child, he is sitting there and playing cards or drinking, I will never say, oh, what kind of generation it is? What can I do even though he is my son? No. I'll hold his hands, spank him, ask him to go home. You know why? Because he's my son. I'm so fast in punishing my son than I even speak something against the son of a neighbor or my laborer. Why? Because he's my son. He needs to stay with me, live with me. Likewise, my friends, God wants us to stay with him, make friendship with him. We are his children. That's the reason why whenever we make a mistake, God is very fast in acting. And here God says, son, I want to walk with you. And that's the reason why I am punishing you. It's not just that we need to go, we want to walk with Jesus or walk with God. Even God wants, he likes, he desires to walk with me and you. So, make the covenant with God. Keep the covenant so that God can walk with you. And then we see that in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5, Hebrews chapter 11, it says about the faith life of all the Old Testament people and the faith life of Enoch is described. It's very interesting that I will read that passage. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death. And he was not found because God has taken him. Now, therefore, before he was taken, he was attested as having pleased God. I love that verse. Before he was taken, he got attestation from the people that he was a man who pleases God. He was a God pleaser. It was not, of course, God is saying a testimony, but it is not, God will say testimony about us, but it is a testimony of the people, unrighteous people around him. They say, Enoch, he has only one thing in his mind, somehow to please God, that's all. He will never drink, he will never play this thing, he will never tell a lie. He has only one thing in his mind, how to please God. That's a big attestation. We need to have this kind of attestation. Not when we die. When we die, people say a lot of things. But that is not true. Once, you know, a very rich person who was a miser, he was about to be buried, but the priest and all the people came and said, this man was so generous. This man was giving money to the poor. This man was giving much money to the church. This man was a very noble person. And the crying wife was just calling her son and said, "Son, just go and lift the clothes and look at the face of that person, whether it is your dad, because these people say something that your dad never did." Sometimes it is like that. When you die, you get attestation. But we are not looking for an attestation when we die. Let people say anything about us. Of course, if you live like that, maybe you will get good attestation. I'm not against that. But when you live. Before Enoch was taken, he got attestation from the people that he was a God-pleaser. What people will tell about you? Some people say, I'm not looking for an attestation from man. I'm looking for an attestation from God. That's all. My God knows me. Your God knows you, and even your neighbor knows you. Your God knows you, and even the people who are working with you also know you. Also know you. So get an attestation from the people with whom you are working. I'm not asking you to write a certificate at all, but what is the attestation you have received from your friends, your neighbors, people who are working with you, your colleagues? I just ask you, him, walk with him. And if you want to walk with him, we need to be free from all iniquities and all sins. Now, my friends, when we read about Enoch, these are the passages. And the next passage we see is in Jude chapter 14. As I said, Enoch from seventh generation. Enoch, seventh generation from Adam. Okay, what it says about Enoch? It says, verse 14, therefore, Book of Jude, verse 14. It was of this also Enoch in the seventh generation from Adam prophesied, saying, "Behold, the Lord came with his holy myriads to execute judgment on all and to convict all the ungodly of all their deeds of ungodliness which they have committed in such an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." See, here we see that Enoch is prophesying about the ungodly people. But one thing is said there, that those people were saying harsh things against him. Him, that means even all the, they were speaking harsh things and bad things against God and also against Enoch. I was just wondering, how can somebody say harsh things, bad things against a person like Enoch? I tell you, my friends, even if you are living like Enoch, still there will be somebody who speak evil against you. That is there. But when somebody says like that, look to yourself. Of course, don't say, "Oh, this is the thing. Yeah, these enemies." No, before saying that, just look at yourself. And even if you are so pious, it is possible sometimes some people speak evil against you. So what should be your response? Do you think that you need to start speaking evil things against that person? No. Enoch says, I'm not going to do anything against that person, that people. The Lord is coming with his myriad. I was just wondering, who are those people? When I was reading Genesis chapter 4, we see a person called Lamech. Lamech was the person who was seventh generation from Adam as the son of Cain. Verse 17 to 19, when we 18, we read that Cain's son was Enoch, and Enoch's son was Erah, and finally, seventh generation, it is Lamech. And Lamech was a person who invented polygamy. Polygamy means living with two wives for the first time in history. And he was a very proud person. And he had two wives. And Lamech said, verse 27, Ada and Silla, hear my voice, you wives of Lamech, hearken to thy what I say. I have slain a man for wounding me, a young man for striking me. If Cain is avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 77-fold. See, all kind of harsh words and, you know, very proud words. And he said, I will slay the man, I will wound, I will revenge 77 times. If it was only 7 times in the case of Cain, big, big things. And he can say that because he had children like, his children were also like that. You know, he had one child, the first child, he was a mighty warrior. That's what we see here. And he bore Jabal. He was the father of those who dwell in tents and cattle. His brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all those who play the lyre and pipe. The first one, it was Tubal-Cain. The last one, Silla, bore Tubal-Cain. He was the forger of all instrument of bronze and iron. The sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah. So he had 3 sons, and one was a musician, one was a farmer, and one was a fighter, a warrior, using all the instruments with bronze and iron. See, very people who were competitive, very competitive children, very competitive children. And maybe I sometimes think if it is in our generation, we would be giving him the best father of the year, something like that, because he was, bringing up his children, very competitive, big musician, big farmer, and also a big fighter. So he always want to fight. He want to make money. He want to play, enjoy music, a lot of things. His house was big, merry, and everything outside. And when somebody was living, like, these people, they are very envious and say, oh, I'm going to fight against them. That person is not good, this, that, a lot of things. But what was the response? Maybe there is one child for Enoch, his name is, Methuselah, who lived for the longest time in the history, the longest time. And he also must be strong personality, I think. Maybe he will say, Dad, why this guy is shouting at us? Let me go and ask him. You know what the father says, Enoch says, no, son, it's none of our business. It's the business of the Lord. The Lord is coming with thousands of myriads to judge these people. I don't want you to become a fighter. I don't want you to become a person who competes everybody. I want you to become a child of God. I ask you to walk with God. That's the biggest thing. I found greatness not in money, not in music. I found greatness not in fighting. I found greatness in walking with God. And he was asking his child to do the same. My friends, it's the same in this generation. There are people who want to make their children competitive. Competitive, competitive, competitive. Sometimes after when I take Bible study, some women comes to me and ask, brother, what all things you said, it is biblical, we understand, but we are living in a competitive world. If we are telling all this spirituality to our children, they may fail. It's a rat race. Only a smart mouse wins the race. I tell them, if you make your child competitive in future, the first people to whom he will compete is you yourself. Don't think that you are going to get something from these people. You make them competitive. My friends, that is not biblical. We are not in this world to make our children competitive. Make your children spiritual. Make your children spiritual. If they play music, I'm not against that. If they are good in farming or doing some business, I'm not against that. But don't inject competition into your child. That will certainly ruin him. These days we want to see that we are like a Enoch who was walking with God. My friends, let's look at the life of Enoch once again. He was not living for money. He was not living for fame. He never wanted to make a name for himself. Built a city and named it after his son. A city and named it after his son's name, Enoch. No one knows about him. But our Enoch is still known because he found greatness not in money, not in power, but in walking with God. Enoch walked with God. Can we walk with God? Yes, we can walk with God. We can. How can we go with God if you make a covenant with Him? I tell you, my friends, anyone who is hearing my message, if you have not made a covenant with God, make a covenant now. Tell God, I want to walk with you. I want to make a covenant with you. Jesus came to this world and died on a cross for you so that you can make a covenant with Him. If you are a sinner, you cannot make a covenant with God, but Jesus made it possible by forgiving your sins, by dying on a cross for you. Now I tell you, my friends, make a covenant with God and keep that covenant. All those who have already made a covenant, now I ask you, my friends, to keep that covenant. If you are continuing in your sins, then certainly your covenant is broken and you can never walk with Him. That's the reason why God says, keep that covenant. He will punish all our sins. And ask God, God, punish my sins. Because I want to make a covenant with you. I want to keep that covenant. I want to walk with you. Then you can walk with Him. And finally, he got attestation from the people that he was a God-pleaser. Yes, we want to see that we are becoming God-pleasers. And we want to make our children grow, not in competitive mind, not with a competitive mind, but with a spiritual mind. Spiritual mind. That's the biggest joy we can have in this world. Your children are growing in spirituality. And finally, we see here that God took him. That's what we see in God and verse 23. All these days, Enoch were 365 years, 24. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. He was not. He was not. That means, you know, he was not seen. He was not seen. If you walk with God, you know what happens? Everything worldly, you are going to lose it, naturally. Because when you walk with him, everything worldly, I'm losing it. My anger, my envy, all the works of my flesh, even in my thinking world, thought world, or, you know, even in my desire, everything. When I walk with him, everything is losing. Then finally, God will say, son, it is good that you are coming with me. Let's go home. Now, I think you are not fit for the world, and you are much away from your home, and my home is so close. Why don't we just come to my home instead of going back to your home? Great. That's a great experience, my friends. Walking with God is something big and something great. Don't miss it. God is ready to accept you. He's ready to take away all your sins. And he's ready to make you so holy that you can walk with him, and finally you will be with him forever and ever. Don't look at these things. Don't find greatness in the things of this world. When you're flying high on an airplane, the first time when you're flying, you will see everything big, big, big buildings. And when it's going high and high and high, you know what happens? Everything becomes small to your eyes. To your eyes. And then you are flying much high, you see all these things are just a matchbox. And you will see ahead, you're not seeing anything. It's the same. Walk with God. Go higher, higher and higher. And then you will see that all the things of this world is nothing, nothing. And you will not look at it with a desire in your heart because you are so close to God. You need to make a covenant. You need to be a God pleaser. Don't find greatness in anything. Don't try to make a name for yourself. Ask God, Lord, I want to walk with you. Let's close our eyes. Lord, we come to your presence. We have heard the story of Enoch along many, many times, O God. But sometimes we thought it is not possible for us to live a life like that. But now I understand it is possible. Lord, help me to live like Enoch by giving up all my sins and keeping the covenant. I want to be a God-pleaser of God. I never want to see that I'm bringing up my children in a competitive mind. Let them live in with a spiritual mind. Let me not look to the people around us when they are speaking even harsh words against me and God. Because you are the person who will come with all your mediators to judge these people. It's not me. Lord, help me to see that I am walking with you and everything worldly is losing from me, O God. I just want to become like you and walk with you. And finally, I will stay with you in your home. One day I know. I'm leaving my home and coming to your home, O God. Help me, Jesus. I'm looking for that day. In Jesus' name we pray.